97.5, The Fanatic.
Colby Cohen on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast of NBC Sports Philadelphia Flyers pregame, postgame, and an NHL analyst, big time at large. Colby, how are you?
I'm good, and thank you for the kind words of the intro. I appreciate it.
So I think the biggest thing that we're all waiting to hear is where the hub cities, and hockey would like to have two cities and have 12 teams in each. And Vancouver pulling out of that most recently because they couldn't agree to health and safety terms. Do you think that hockey is going to get close because they have a deadline for themselves of wanting to be in training camps July 10th, meaning in a bubble training camp by then? What do you think will happen?
Well, I think the one thing everybody has to continually remind themselves is these dates are all tentative dates. And I think everybody is exercising optimism, but also caution in the fact that, you know, they may have to push this back a couple days, or, you know, there could be last minute details that could potentially delay things by a few days. So I do expect them, though, to start training camp right around that July 10th date. It's been widely reported that Las Vegas is going to be one of the hub cities. And I know that, you know, we've seen a little bit of a spike in cases in Vegas, but, you know, from everything that I've understood and been told, that Vegas has a very, very thorough bubble plan for the players, giving them sort of safe passage to and from these arenas and, places to eat, things like that. And you know, making it as safe of an environment as they possibly can. Now, the other host city, we keep hearing it could be Edmonton or it could be Toronto. It sounds like it's down to those two. And, you know, if I had to bet, I would just have to bet on Toronto because, you know, it's a major market.
Yep.
It's on the East Coast. And you think about the fact that they're going to broadcast every one of these games. So you do want to have the ability to have teams playing in the Eastern time zone and not just all in that Western time zone. I think that that would create a little bit more of a log jam as to when the games could be played. I think it would force them to start earlier in the day to hit those primetime East Coast slots. But, you know, they have not announced it. I personally don't have any type of inside information other than I know it's, you know, down to those two cities. And if I was a betting man, I would definitely bet on Toronto.
And we should tell people that Canada has said they will allow players and whatnot to cross over and go into Canada, even though they aren't doing that for regular travelers, but they would do it for the NHL, which I think is a good thing the government has done for this bigger picture for the sport. All right, let me ask
you. I think that it helps to stimulate their economy, because when you think about the fact that the only people that are really going to be on site are going to be the teams, the personnel, and people that are operating cameras. So, you know, you're stimulating an economy, you're giving people opportunity to work, whether they're working on the off-production side. I mean, you obviously worked in TV for a long time, and, you know that whole side that people don't see behind the cameras.
Sure.
And, you know, that's job creation, that's, you know, good for their economy. So I'm sure Canada, you know, will, like you said, they're going to do whatever they can do to make sure that they get to be one of these two host cities.
Yes, absolutely. What do we hope to, I mean, you're winning 9 out of 10, the Flyers, and then this pause button has to be hit for obvious reasons. And we've talked a lot about the NBA and what can we expect from teams coming back from such a layoff. From a hockey standpoint, because I think the conditioning is totally different, and the ability to have ice available for people to have continued to be on the ice during these 3.5 months is a lot harder than being able to pick up a basketball and maybe go to your backyard or a gym. What can we expect conditioning-wise out of people?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's such a good point, because you can run every day and you can bike every day and you can be in phenomenal shape, and you could be running your best 5 mile, or sorry, your best 1 mile, and you're riding your best 5 mile. You know, it doesn't necessarily translate to hockey shape. It obviously puts you in a good anaerobic position and give you a good baseline. But until you put your skates on and you're in that motion of continually only being on one leg as you move around the ice and, you know, people are hitting you and pushing off you and, you know, the constant confrontation, it's going to take some time. Now, from my understanding, a lot of players have made their way back to the different cities. So I think players have taken advantage of this phase two start where they are allowed to have six players on the ice, and then they extended it to 12 players. I know, you know, in most places you're seeing at least 50 or 70% of the players are already back and getting on the ice. And if they're not back with their team, ice has become available to them in whatever city that they reside in. So, you know, I've heard that the practices have been really high tempo. Guys are skating and they kind of are conditioning themselves at the end. You know, the other thing to keep in mind is when you only have 6 or 12 guys on the ice, that's a lot of reps. Normally, right. You've got 18 to 22 skaters. You know, there's 3-4 people in line anytime you're running a drill. So, you know, you're getting extra repetitions. You're working the kinks out. You know, ultimately, I do think from July 10th to, you know, the 1st of August or July 31st, it is enough time to get yourself back in shape, to feel the puck. You know, I think early in training camp, you'll see a lot of drills with built-in conditioning where you're having to go up and down the ice and you're feeling the puck and you're working it around. And then I think as you get later in training camp, you'll start to see teams work on, you know, more battling type of drills, more contact, you know, start to reiterate what the things were that made you successful, you know, the different systems that especially here in Philadelphia, the Flyers have played. But, you know, the Flyers were a good team all year, mm-hmm. and they play with good habits. They do all the little things well. They're well coached. They have a group of guys that really committed this year to playing the right way. So, you know, when this thing restarts, I expect them to go back to where they were because, you know, they weren't a team that were winning by luck. I mean, this was a team that all year won and convincingly and won the right way, played hard, you know, didn't lose two in a row very often. I mean, a lot of good things that, you know, I think would carry through even, you know, this season, next season. I mean, these are things that are foundational things that we saw from the team this year.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Do you like the 24-team playoff setup? I love the round robin part of it, which, of course, the Flyers are in, having been in the top four in their conference. But do you like the play-in combination with the round robin?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that this is an imperfect scenario. And
ooh, Colby, are you still?
I know that.
There you are.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me? Sorry, did I cut out?
Yes, that's okay.
I do like it. I think that the league and the Players Association did a really nice job of coming up with scenarios that, you know, sort of were as fair as they possibly could be under a very unique circumstance. And James Van Riemsdyk was actually one of the representatives on the return to play committee. There was like a dozen players. He was picked to be one of those guys. And, you know, I think there was no perfect scenario, but I think you really needed to give some of these teams that were playing, you know, around the bubble, even though they were outside of the playoff picture, an opportunity to come back and, you know, be a part of this. And, you know, there's also going to be maybe one, maybe two exhibition games mm-hmm. before they get into the round robin. And, you know, for the Flyers, you know, some people say, oh, well, there's a disadvantage because they're not going to play a meaningful best of five series before the first round of the playoffs. But, you know, going through the NHL playoffs is a grueling experience. And it's going to be very hard for some of those teams that have to play in those first round best of five series to go and win four more series after that. I like the Flyers' chances where, you know, they're playing their round robin games. Obviously, the games are meaningful, but it's also about getting your timing back and getting your chemistry back with your line mates without having the opportunity to get knocked out. So, you know, I think it worked out well for the Flyers. They deserve it because they put themselves in this position by playing well all year. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I miss watching hockey, that's for sure.
All right, Colby, I have to ask you, because you have won a Stanley Cup. Can you imagine, for whatever team is fortunate enough and earns the right to have that, you know, skate around with the Stanley Cup, that they will be doing that in front of nobody? I mean, all eyes will be from the living rooms on TV. But for the people who experience that in that particular building, can you imagine what that would be like?
Well, the team that I was a part of, we actually won it on the road. So the only people in that whole building in Vancouver that were rooting for us were our family members, which, you know, maybe were 100 people. But, I mean, it's going to be a unique experience. And, you know, there's no perfect way. You know, Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, who, you know, I know you have a basketball background.
Sure.
You know, he made some really interesting comments talking about this is something we have to live with, and we can either adapt and do the best we can, make it as safe as we can, make it as interactive as we can, be as innovative as we can, or, you know, we can succumb to the virus and we can just sort of wait and see. And, you know, I appreciate that type of mentality out of the NBA commissioner, but, you know, you're going to see all these different things where I think fans are going to have cooler, different types of access to these games, to these players. I think you'll see more people mic'd up. I think you'll be able to hear more of what happens down on the glass. I think very few people have a really good understanding for what is actually going on the team's benches, when guys are lining up for face-offs. So, you know, I think it will bring unique opportunity. And, you know, the other thing, too, that obviously, you know, they have not ruled out, you know, who knows, you know, where the Stanley Cup Finals would take place. Would they be able to take place in the team's home city? You know, they haven't really ruled that out yet,
right?
Although unlikely. So, you know, I think right now the main focus is just getting back, keeping guys as safe as you can, you know, mitigating as much risk as you can, and putting a product back out on the ice and, you know, giving sports fans something to rally around. I mean, so many people have a void in their life right now, you know, regardless of whatever void, you know, they might have with work or being at home. I mean, sports is a big part of a lot of people's lives. So, I think that it'll be exciting to watch. I mean, the NHL playoffs, whether you like hockey or not,
they're awesome.
Something to see.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. I appreciate you spending part of your Sunday with us, Colby. It's been a pleasure. And I, like you,
yeah.
I know everybody says I do enjoy my basketball, but I do love playoff hockey. And I'm looking forward to the Flyers having a good run.
And you know, that goes vice versa. Obviously, we're all pulling to see what the 76ers are going to do this year. And I like when we exchanged text messages yesterday. You know, one of my favorite people to talk about any sport with is your dad. So I'm always talking his ear off a little bit to hear about the Sixers. And sometimes I like to get his perspective on the hockey stuff because, you know, he was a coach and
he
coached at a high level. So he has sort of a unique experience and a unique, you know, way to see certain things, whether he coached hockey or not. So, you know, I'm always picking his ear a little bit too about it. So it's a pleasure.
I think, well, three of us should watch one of each of the playoff games and do like a little podcast of the watching together of the three of us with the two sports.
Yeah, well, I'm in. You know where to
find me.
So.
I'll text you, Colby. All right, you enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Thank you so much.
And, all right,
we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
All right.
Colby Cohen joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.